got a long way to go and a short time to get there, but I'll do my best to expedite this. Had some questions. Someone asked me about like the devil's domain. It's an area in a territory owned and controlled by a ruler or a government. And we oftentimes designate that as Satan's domain, which is hell or Haiti. And it was created for him, and he works and operates through that. Someone else asked me if a seducing spirit's always sexual. Manipulation and deceptive. These three things do go together, but a seducing spirit is not always sexual. Jezebel had a very seducing spirit. Wasn't always sexual, but it definitely can be and has a part to play. In Revelation chapter 18, and being as I've got so much ground to cover, if you have questions, go ahead and write them down and hand them to me, and I'll maybe put your name on them, and I'll try to get back to you later. If I don't know it, I'll find somebody that does. But in Revelation chapter 18, begin at verse number 2, it says, "And he cried," and we've read this many, many times and heard this, and I'll ask you to stand. "He cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of the devil," or the domain, and the hold of every foul spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird," that's other spirits, "for all nations have drunken of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchandise of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, looking at this passage of Scripture, and it says that Babylon has fallen. In my estimation, and you can correct me, and perhaps Brother Hewitt and these other Bible scholars would like to correct me, but I feel that Babylon is the spirit of the world and can inhabit any part. You look around about us, and we find and see that America today has followed the path of other nations that have stooped so low to spill innocent blood, to pervert genders and what God has brought together. But I will tell you that Babylon, and what was known, you find in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, that Babylon was located along the Euphrates River. You remember the people that was going to build a tower, the Tower of Babel? That the literal location is found in present-day Iraq, about 50 miles south of Baghdad. But again, that spirit that has taken domain in our world today, and it's worldwide. It's worldwide. Throughout time, it's an historical fact that the devil has influenced and even destroyed empires and nations. From Rome, to the Russian Holocaust, to the Middle East terrorists, have reached across the globe. In modern day America, that has declined at a breakneck speed. 1 John chapter 4 verse 5 says, "You little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world." 1 John chapter 5 verse 21 says, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." It's vitally important, that we maintain our walk with Christ. And the closer we get with him, to him, the farther that we will get from the world. Demon spirits have worked, and we have seen them throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see several areas where Satan exposes himself both in the Old and the New Testament. Starting in Genesis with the introduction of himself to Eve. We see in 1 Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord came and troubled him. And there's a lot of things that we could talk about there, but it was because, it says, the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. It wasn't so much that the Lord sent an evil spirit, but Saul opened up himself to that evil spirit in defiance and rebellion against God. The same hour, things fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He ate grass like the oxen. His body was wet with dew from heaven, till his hair was grown out like eagle's feathers and his nail like bird's claws. Wasn't he a sight to see? You think a spirit was controlling him? In the New Testament, we see first off Satan working through Herod to kill all the children 2 years and younger, to get rid of the Christ child. Also areas where Christ confronted and delivered evil and unclean spirits. The man with an unclean spirit, in Mark chapter 1, the Syrophoenician woman, the legions, the deaf and dumb spirit in Mark 9 and 14. All of these we see where the enemy is working. He is real. There's a lot of people that don't want to recognize that Satan and evil spirits are real. But he is real. In Acts 16, we see where there was a spirit of divination or a fortune teller. Can I tell you, church, it's so important when dealing and confronting the enemy and the devil that we ask and receive from God the gift of discernment so we will know the difference. Because the enemy, the devil, can come in like an angel of light. He can appear. And the example is here in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, to where the young lady, the slave girl, was predicting the future and was telling everybody how great Paul was. Hello? Luke chapter 10, verse 19 said, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions." You do not need to be afraid of the devil unless you're out from underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. We make that very clear. You have no need to be afraid of the devil and what he can do unless you're out from underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe the story is told of I'll come back to it in a minute, okay? His name just slipped my mind. But he was awakened one night, and somebody may know the name. He was awakened one night, and he woke up, looked at the edge of his bed, and there was a devil standing there over him, looking over him. And he said, "Oh, it's just you, devil." And he turned over and went back to sleep. You don't have to fear the devil if the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and to your life. This is how Christ treated demons. If you are confronted with someone that's demon possessed, you treat the person with respect, but you give the devil no respect. But you confront them in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ, he treated the demons. He confronted the demons head on, calling them by name, some of them, while direct others at give them a exit plan, allowing no sympathy for the devil, but ample love and grace for their victim. I can't overemphasize that enough. Did y'all get that? Pardon? Jesus confronted the demons head on. He called some of them by name. And confronting the devils, if you can find out their name, it brings them to a place of exposure, because their name many times means something. And if you expose them and their name, they have less control of that victim. Christ met them head on, giving them an exit plan, allowing no sympathy for the devil, but ample love and grace for their victim. Again, Jesus confronted, identified, numbered, and took authority. Somebody say, take authority. Luke chapter 10, 19 said, "Behold, I give you all power to tread upon serpents and over the power of the enemy." You cannot do it in your own power. Some of the disciples tried to do it on their own, and the devils beat them up and sent them on the run. But it's through the power in the name of Jesus Christ and through His shed blood. And understand and remember, I mentioned to you this, I think the last time that I taught on this, that we need to be thankful because our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not giving thanks because we have power over the enemy. It's because of Christ, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, very important passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." Amen. When you confront the enemy and someone that is demon-possessed, or you think they're demon-possessed, if they will not confess that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, they are not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye heard that it should come, and even now already in the world. Does Christians have authority over the devil?
Yes.
Why? What is different about Christians having authority over the devil that non-Christians don't? Pardon?
We are a child of the Most High, for we are covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He just read Luke 10:19. I give you power. You read that.
Good. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8, it says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou dost visit him, speaking of Christ. You have made him a little lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor, and that you did set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He has given you the power. Christ himself came with the power over all the spirits and the devils in hell. And Christ has given you that authority. We have all authority to take divine command and authority over every demon and devil of hell. It's in the name of Jesus that we have that authority. It's using the Word of God, recognizing the blood that makes a difference. Mark 16:17 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they will speak with new tongues. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God. Hello? Submit yourself therefore to God. It's only then that you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now above all things, again, remember this. It's in the name of Jesus that Satan has to yield. I said it's in the name of Jesus that Satan has to yield. It's God's word that Satan cannot stand. It's the blood of Jesus that Satan cannot cross. Hear me? It's faith without wavering, standing with authority that God has given you to resist all powers of hell. So I ask you, can a sinner cast out devils? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself brought to desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then the kingdom of how can his kingdom stand? Can a Christian be possessed of devils? Can a sinner cast out devils? Is that a yes or a no? No. Can a Christian be possessed of devils?
No.
Because Jesus, the blood of Jesus, Satan cannot cross that bloodline. There can be a so-called Christian that can be possessed, but a true Christian cannot be possessed. Someone was arguing with the preacher one day, said, but Pastor, what if the devil crosses that bloodline? He said, the devil cannot cross that bloodline. He said, oh, but Pastor, what if? What if just so happens? What if that devil crosses the bloodline? Pastor said, then he'd be a saved devil. He cannot cross the bloodline. When Jesus was accused of using demon powers to cast out devils, he said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. James 3:11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yielded both salt water and fresh. It is either is or it ain't. Again, let me repeat James 4 and 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Giving God your all. Life is a Christian life. Living a victorious Christian life is a little more complex than what we look at it today. We kind of have the idea of nonchalantly skipping through the tulips and just letting everything be what it is. But a victorious child of God is a happy person, a victorious person, and lives a life of victory and does not fear the enemy and can stand his ground through the blood of Jesus Christ and claim the victory and put Satan and hell on the run. That's why I said as I begun tonight, we don't need to get up in the morning waiting for hell to attack. You need to get up in the morning attacking hell. All right. So we find and write this down in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. I'm not going to read it all, but go home and read it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. We are to take on the whole armor of God. Somebody say whole armor. So how can a church-going person become demon-possessed? Is that possible? Can a church-going person be demon-possessed? Yep. How is that possible? When that person deliberately goes into the devil's territory, allowing them to become a possible victim to whatever the devil offers, even though that person may claim to be a Christian. When a person yields or opens themselves up to Satan's powers, and there's different avenues in doing so. For instance, through anger, and you don't get a hold of it. Watching or looking at things that would open doors to the dark side, such as movies, magazines, playing or flirting with games like the 8-ball, Ouija board, horoscope, dream catchers, etc. We are opening our spirit man up to demon powers. Church, we must be careful on what we purchase or we accept as gifts. Discerning if there is any darkness attached to them. God's people has no business associating with fortune tellers or any sorts of seances. That's not a part of a Christian's life. With all respect, when we was in South Dakota, after getting to know the people in that area pretty well, they would offer and bring some of us gifts. And I appreciate the thoughtfulness and the concern, but when you live in a culture where demon spirits and powers are so prevalent and things have the background of spiritual things attached to them, I told the people, be very, very careful what you accept or keep. It's vitally important. Sister Diane and I was on a cruise a few years back, and one of our I don't know what you call them. What do you call those people that run around the ship taking care of you? Yeah, them too. He's a little bitty guy from a foreign country. And he got to know us pretty good. And I mean, as far as ship relationship goes. And we'd give him tips and he was really kind to us. Well, one evening, he brought us something from his country. A gift that he wanted to give to us. And hey, listen, I'm not one telling you that I'm a top discerner of everything, okay? But immediately we both felt checked in our spirit at the same time. We package it up and we put it away, and it is not in our house. Okay? It's not that I didn't appreciate that young man. His mind and thought and may have been totally clear, but I have to guard my home and my house, and you've got to guard your home and your house. So we must be careful when we purchase or accept gifts, discerning if there's anything dark attached to them. God's people has no business associating with those things. This does not mean that we are on a consistent witch hunt. Are you with me? Not every corner you turn is going to have a witch standing there. Okay. Not everything you pick up is going to have the dark side attached to it. I believe we need to be spiritual discerners, but we don't need to run around hunting things to haunt us. Okay? If you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, He'll take care of that part. Are you with me? People who claim to know God but live fleshly, carnal lives open up the door of their hearts, spirits, and souls, and minds to the devil, and Satan will take advantage of those and dominate their thoughts with evil desires. In Genesis, in Noah's time, it says men's hearts was on evil continually. You know why the people of Babel that was built on the tower, you know why that they wasn't able to finish that tower? It wasn't because of their ability, it's because of their motives. Hear me. The enemy has motives that look good from the front, but will take you down on the end. We must beware. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not of whom you yield yourself servants to obey?" That's who you yield yourself to. When we see the life of Saul spiraling out of control as he sought for a woman with a familiar spirit, when we see Ananias and Sapphira as Satan filled their hearts to lie to the Holy Ghost, along with Judas, who opened himself up to betray even the Son of God, we must be sensitive to the presence and the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 said, "So I said, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature." So real quickly, we're going to step into another mode and look at the seven steps toward demon possession. First of all, a lot of people don't want to talk about demon powers, while others don't even believe in them. And yet, let me say this right here. Movie backgrounds, they're making movies to where they're desensitizing these things. And desensitizing these things, they are trying their best to desensitize our mind and our hearts. Are you with me? So we must be careful. Again, what we watch, what we let into our spirit man, because they are trying to desensitize us. Okay? I do believe that the less we expose them, the more control they assume on people. If we just blow it off, the more Satan has control on people and they don't even know it. It's only when we pull back the drapes and expose the demon powers, it's then we can set people free. Christians have been taught to fear evil, even some preachers, but even in our modern world, we can't afford to be afraid of them, nor do we need to cower down to them. The Bible doesn't teach us to fear the devil, but to resist him, submitting ourselves to God. We're not to run, but Jesus said to cast them out. God has not given us a spirit of fear, for He has given us the authority through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, church, and through His name that we are to cast out all evil spirits. As we explore the process, we first need to see the steps of how Satan can take over an immortal soul. Our mortal bodies are inhabited by an immortal soul. Our mortal bodies are inhabited by an immortal soul. You all understand that? This is flesh. It's going back to the dirt, the dust in which it was made. But this spirit man that lives inside of you is an immortal soul. Number one is regression. A reversion to earlier behavior patterns, going backwards. Someone that can be possessed and someone that is those things that I already mentioned, allowing our mind and our eyes to absorb. There is a regression. There is a repression. It is to restrain, to squeeze, to prevent natural expressions, to keep down or hold back. There is regression, repression, and suppression. To press under, to keep back, to conceal. Then there is depression. Low spirits, gloominess, dejection, sadness. Then there is oppression. It's the steps of being possessed. Let me start over again. Regression, repression, suppression, depression, and oppression, and then obsession. Oppression is the pressure to crush, to smother. Obsession is to besiege, to haunt as an evil spirit. And then the seventh one is possession, to inhabit or to occupy. Not every assault comes in these steps. But I will tell you, we must be aware of Satan's tactics and take the appropriate steps and applications through God's Word to stay full of God's Holy Spirit and power and His anointing to be an overcomer. Ephesians, again, chapter 6, verse number 10, I told you earlier, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Here is someone, or how is someone delivered from the devil and from demons? I know I'm going awful fast, and I hope you're grasping a little bit of it, okay? Because I've still got a ways to go. So hopefully I've given you some information on how that we need to stay clear of demon powers and possessions. So how is someone delivered from demon powers and the devil? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, Paul said, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." NIV says, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Possibly here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is referring to the heathen nations, and it is possible to recover those individuals even through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understanding, listen, I want you to understand this, that there is times that people open up their hearts and lives for possession. There's times that Satan sets a trap for them that they are caught before they realize it. And regardless, whichever it may be, they need deliverance and they need to be set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand, I got a little scenario here. The snares of the devil can be loosed and people set free through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When dealing with those ensnared, we need to understand that a snare is a trap. I like this word. It sounds Plum, Arkansas, Oklahoma. It's a contraption. Don't that sound appropriate for our... It's a contraption, like that you would set for a rabbit. A rabbit or whatever animal you have set the snare for thinks that they have found free food to enjoy. Are you getting the picture? That's exactly what the devil does. And in the same manner which the devil deceives people with a snare, to entrap those who think that they have free pleasure. He fools them into thinking that the pleasure is worth the captivity, and by their own will, the Bible says that they are taken into captivity, and it's our responsibility to share the gospel with them, bringing deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ to them. Jesus commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. When dealing with the devil, understand what it is and what it ain't. What it is and what it ain't. It's not a human battle. We cannot approach it in fear. Psychiatry cannot set them free. Philosophy cannot set them free. Can I tell you, pastoral counseling can't set them free. But it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Spirit speaks expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a red hot iron. It is imperative, church, that we get a brand new mindset in our spiritual walk with God. I'm here to tell you, these things that we are bringing to light, the devil does not like. But I can tell you, there is no love loss. And I'm out to expose him and tell him exactly where he is and where he's going, and bring people to the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ and set their spirits free. Can anyone contest that we are not living in the latter times? Are we living in the last days or what? And there are those who are departing the truth. Those who are departing the truth, it's not like folks are backsliding or just going astray, but are actually giving themselves over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is one thing that really concerns me as a pastor, that we have watered down our services to the point that it's just the same old, same old. It concerns me to the point that there has got to be. Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we used to have services to where people would cry and plead and seek God, and we would shout and we would dance. And I'm telling you, it's not all in the shout. I know that, but it's good shout. A shout's good, okay? And when we go so long, we become desensitized to the spirit of the shout. Do you hear me? I said, when we go so long, we become desensitized to the spirit of the shout. That's exactly what has happened to conviction. We don't want to preach conviction no more because we have gotten to a place we become desensitized to conviction. So we don't want to hear any message that convicts us. We want the soft, fluffy kind that makes us feel good and in the long run leads us to a path of hell because we have not received the spirit of truth. Therefore, we must have a brand new mindset that we are to walk softly, holy, respectable unto God. This is God's sanctuary. It is to be reverenced. It has not changed. It is God's sanctuary. It is to be reverenced. The power of the Holy Ghost has come to bring conviction. We don't want to hear conviction anymore. When we're doing something wrong, the Holy Ghost needs to come knocking on your door and telling you where you need to straighten up and you need to change and do different. That's what the Holy Ghost is for, to help you to change and get you ready where you ain't going to miss heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. And we have become desensitized to the Pentecost. I'm not ashamed of Pentecost on my sign out front. I'm not ashamed. Of Pentecost. Several years ago when we first come to Solomon Springs, I was green as grass, literally, and now I feel like I'm dead as grass at times. But I was as green as I could be, and I went to the Minister Alliance meeting, and perhaps, I'm going to be honest with you, perhaps a little bit of pride, but I just got my new business card starting the church. My business card's Pentecostal Church of God, Pastor Mike Horton. And I was proud of him. And I handed them to a couple of the ministers at the Minister Alliance meeting. And to my amazement and shock, Sam Pentecost, one of them wrote 666 on my card and pushed it back to me. Y'all ain't got a clue what preachers go through sometimes. And he didn't have a clue what was in for him because I knocked on his door the next day. I'm telling you the truth. I did. I wasn't mean to him, but I told him I did not appreciate what he'd done. The devil don't like you being Pentecost. And they've come too late to tell me it's not real. Hello? Amen. Speaking in tongues is real. The devil has a counterfeit, but it's only a counterfeit because the Holy Ghost is real. And he gives you the evidence of receiving that by speaking in tongues. Okay. So we all know that we're living in the last days, right? And there are those that are departing from the truth. But I just come to tell you today that the Holy Ghost power releases His Spirit to give to everyone who will seek it. For God is no respecter of individuals. I want to emphasize, Jesus Christ had no disrespect for the people. He had compassion for those that was bound by the enemy. But He gave the devil no slack. None. In our world that has become so saturated with evil, the occult, witchcraft, fortune telling, astrology. Astrology, the New Age movement. You don't need to get the newspaper or look on your phone every morning to see what your horoscope says. I'm telling you, that come out from the pits of hell. Here's what you need to be reading. This is what tells you what your day's going to be like. Huh? And just because your day stinks sometimes, don't mean God's on a far journey. He knows where you're at. You need some days that stink so you'll enjoy the ones that smell better. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But the increasing of lawlessness, can I tell you, in the midst of all of this junk that's in our world today, there's still a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. And it still has the power to save and to set free. John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Can I tell you, and coming to the climax of this, know this, that when confronting demons, it's only through the name of Jesus Christ and by His blood that they are set free. Taking authority over Him without fear, because it's Jesus inside of you. Greater is He that's within you than he that is in the world. Finding out the name, when you are confronted, and you may not want to tackle the devil right off, and I'm not looking for him, okay? I'm not looking for him. But if someone comes in and needs deliverance and set free, and they want to, you can help them. And if those spirits that are attached to them, they've usually got a name. And confronting that name, finding out that name and confronting, ask them. Ask that demon, "What's your name?" Setting them free of the power. How many, be honest, okay? I mean, it kind of gives you the creeps talking about stuff like that. I understand that. It's okay. Kind of get creeped out by stuff like that. But I want you to know the devil's real. But I also want you to know God's more real. And you don't have to be afraid of the devil's junk. Okay? You don't have to be afraid of the devil's junk. Exposing him of who he is and what his plans are. Remember I told you when I first started this, nobody lacks exposure. Right? If you're doing something wrong, that's why the Bible says they do it in the dark. Because they don't want to be exposed. Right? The devil don't want to be exposed. So when you expose him, he wants to raise his ugly head, and in the name of Jesus, you take it off. In the name of Jesus, okay? I'm not telling you something that, you know, hey, I just run out here in a pit full of devils only if God tells me to, okay? Exposing him of who he is and what his plans are and commanding the devil to set their captive free. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Thereof ye have heard that I should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already working in our world today. It's very apparent. So I'm closing. I'm going to tell you in Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Behold, Jesus said, I have given you the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nonetheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Heavenly Father, I love you and I appreciate you, O God. And Heavenly Father, what I have left out, minds and spirits that may be somewhat confused, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will show them and lead them and direct them in the right path. That the enemy is real in our world today, and the devil has totally consumed our society. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's victory for every individual that desires it. Father God, touch your people. Keep them safe. Plead your blood over them, Lord. Build a hedge round about them. Again, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over these people. And I thank God that deliverance is available to us through Jesus Christ and His precious blood. Thank you, O God. I give you praise and glory and ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you have any questions, please write them down and we'll try to get to them as soon as we can. Otherwise, have a great week and hope to see you Wednesday night.